Welcome back, everyone. This is kind of the actual premiere of season 7. Since we did our ad commercial recap last time, this is our first episode of season 7, and we brought in, well, I have to thank AAF Omaha for bringing in their Meet the Pros. Great student event, by the way. I think it's, look it up if you've been in the area. They brought in Armin Witt, and we ended up hijacking him or something like that from just down the block. And so we have to thank AAF Omaha for hosting a great event and bringing in Armin. Armin, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Recovering from a late night flight, but I'm here.
Okay, well, if the jet lag comes through, we'll let you know later. Or maybe there's got to be a filter on it to fix that up, make you sound alert.
Sounds good.
All right. Now, the first thing I want to talk to you about is you've got a new venture out there other than, I guess, under consideration. I'm sure Byronie's also involved, is with everybody. Mm-hmm. Everyone always hears Armin, but she does probably more than you do. Since you're here, she's probably already like got another venture started up.
Yeah, and she keeps me in check and makes sure that I don't do anything too foolish.
Okay, well, I have no one to do that. No one does that for me now that Nate's gone, or actually, it's probably the other way around. but the newest venture I've seen is you have a thing called AIFGA.
It is for. So that people are not confused, we're shortening it to AI4GA. So it's the Austin Initiative for Graphic Awesomeness. And it's a bi-monthly speaker series for now.
Well, you got awesome in the name for it. So there's no doubt that when you put awesome in the name of something, you have to have, it's got to be elevated to a certain level. And I see you have a bat unicorn logo.
Right. We call it the Baticorn, and I was thinking what would be a fun logo for this. And, you know, looking at the name, we have Austin, and we're famous for having bats under a bridge.
I've seen them there. They're crazy.
It is kind of crazy. And it's impressive. So we're known for bats. And then what is more awesome than a unicorn? You know, unicorns are great. They have the horn. They poop rainbows. You know, what else can you ask for? And something that's awesome. So we thought we could bring the bat and the unicorn together, and we asked our friends and past speakers at the brand new conference, Brandios. They're in San Diego, and they do all the logos for minor league baseball teams, and they do this really amazing illustration. So we told them, would you be interested in making a mascot of a bat and a unicorn blended together, and they were up to the task.
Well, I mean, it looks great, And for the name of your group, this thing of awesomeness, I think it plays up. I mean, that's like good design solution problems.
Yeah, and it was also, we wanted to, we didn't want to have some sort of big agenda. It was like, this is going to be about graphic stuff, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to happen in Austin. So we just wanted to keep it really simple and really honest.
And you guys actually, you said that last week was the... And this is only if you're listening to this any time close to when this launched. So I guess February of 2014, the first speaker you brought in was James Victoria, because I assume he's the only one who could kick this off correctly.
Yeah, I think we were, for the first one, we wanted to make sure that it got kicked off right in a spirit that, you know, was someone that would just rally you to want to be awesome. Or someone that we think of as being awesome. And I think James has this really great personality, and especially nowadays where he's become more of like this graphic Yoda, where, you know, he imparts wisdom with swear words and, you know, scribbly graphics. So I think he really helped capture the essence of what we're going for.
Yeah, and if any of you guys aren't familiar with him, check out his Burning Questions on YouTube. They're amazing. I think he gives the best advice currently in the design field, because it also comes off honest.
Yeah, it comes off honest, and it comes from someone that is successful without kind of like the degree of boss that comes with other designers. So he's just honest, and, you know, there's a certain authenticity to him that comes across quite well with everything that he does.
Well, what was it that got under consideration to decide that you guys needed to start? I mean, because you don't have enough to do. So what was it that decided that, hey, we need to start bringing speakers to Austin?
There's kind of like the, I don't want to say evil approach, the evil reasoning behind it, but we've been in Austin for 5 years, and in that time, I think we've been to one local AIGA event from our chapter. So we, and they do events, but they're all like, let's get together and have drinks or bowl or whatever.
See, our chapter quit doing that event, so we brought it back. We call it 36 pints. So
there you go.
So
maybe we're, we don't, in the at the stage in our career where we are at, you know, me and my wife and partner, Bryony, we're, you know, we're 10, 12 years in. We want to see something that will excite us. We don't just want to get around and have beers, which is fine. And, you know, that really helps a lot of young designers get out there and meet with other creators. But we thought there was something missing in the Austin design community that we could, that we had the connections and the know-how of how to run an event that we could bring this to Austin. So, you know, that was kind of like the real impetus for it, that we could do something that the local AAGA chapter wasn't doing, and also a little bit getting back to kind of like not rectifying, but in a way the larger AIGA agenda has moved away from celebrating graphic design to celebrating some other bigger thing. So we just want to be like, let's make it about things that are just fun and graphic and awesome. So that was it. And now, you know, now the Austin chapter has changed a lot in the last 3 months. So there was a little bit of friction at the beginning of, you know, hey, why are you doing this? We're really trying here. Like, well, it's not your fault. You know, you're trying to pick up from 4 years of stuff not happening.
No, I get it. Because we have a board here, and the board here is great. But I mean, there's ebbs and flows when you're dealing with all-volunteer organizations. Agendas change based on who's on it, so I understand.
Yeah, and so that's one also one of the reasons why we wanted to do it, because here it's just me and Bryony. I mean, there's no committee, there's no one to approve anything. You know, we'll have lunch, we'll come up with a list of speakers, we invite them, if they say yes, that's great, if not, we'll move on to the next. So it's a very, I don't want to say easy, because there's nothing easy about it, but it's a somewhat doable project for us that doesn't take that much time. It takes plenty of time, but it's not draining like other projects that we have.
Where do you host these events in Austin? Or do you have like a dedicated space, or you moved them around, or are you guys still kind of in flux? Or
I mean, we found one place where we're doing the first three, which is a co-working space in South Austin, which is, you know, the cool part of town. It fits 200 people. It's very nicely decorated, very designy, very rustic. It's a little bit expensive, but you know, it's worth the price. So we're going to have the first three there, and then we'll see how it goes.
Wonderful. And where do people go online if they're in Austin, or if they're planning a trip through Austin, they want to see if they're going to hit one of these things? Where do people go to find out more about the AI4GA?
Thank you. You have to go to a really long URL, which is austininitiativeforgraphicawesomeness.com. Or on Twitter, you can just go to AI4GA.
Can they also, is it linked from your under consideration main page or not?
Somewhere.
Okay, so.
Not the best
Austin
place to look.
AustinInitiativeForGraphicAwesomeness.com, which I don't believe, I can't believe that domain was even available.
That's
but,
right, yeah.
But good for it. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about what else you've been up to. We'll be back with Armin. Welcome back. Hey, out of your many blogs, by the way, I got to tell you, 4Print Only is the one I follow the most, just because every couple weeks I'm like, I haven't been there. It's my bookmark bar, and it's just designer eye candy, and it's wonderful. But I know your biggest one is brand new. Has that been your biggest one for a while? Is that kind of the...
Yeah, it has been. And it's also the first kind of like spin-off of the old days from Speak Up.
Which
I don't think anyone wants us to go into that at the moment. But if you think they will, we can talk about it later. But yeah, Brandon.
No, I think last time we had you on for a full show, I think we got you via Skype the day after Speak Up shut down.
So I think so that was 2009. Yeah, that's right.
These time goes by quick sometimes.
It does. In the blogging world, it's pretty fast. It's sad what that sounds like, but yeah, it goes fast. But yeah, Brand New, we started it in 2006. And what Brand New is, if anyone's not familiar, it's every day we put up a review or a critique of mostly it's corporate identity, but it's also consumer brands or packaging that redesign or a new introduction of a brand. So if Walmart, when Walmart came out with a new logo, or Starbucks came out with a revised logo, we put up a whole review of it with images and opinion and stuff like that.
Okay, this is going to lead us to our pop quiz section of the show.
Yes.
Best logo rebrand of all time.
That is a tough one, but if I'm going to go with gut feeling, I would say FedEx. Going from Federal Express, a company that no one gave a crap about, to FedEx, shortening it based on how people inside the company already called it, and then putting an arrow in it. That's just brilliant. And it took years for people to figure out that there was an arrow in it. And now, like, you know, you're... aunt knows that there's
I think the big part is just renaming it.
Yeah. So I think that's a really successful corporate redesign that has turned, you know, that company into something that everybody knows and recognizes. And then it probably helped that it was in Castaway with Tom Hanks, but you know, UPS wasn't cool enough to be in that movie. You know, FedEx.
Oh, and their logo would not be the answer to this question.
No, it would be the answer to the opposite question. Which one is the worst rebrand of all time?
The most hated.
The most hated,
yeah.
At least, yeah.
Well, the proper answer comes from Nicholas Burrows, and it's Apple Computer. So they had the full rainbow Apple with the crazy type underneath it. And now it's just Mark. So that's the official answer. But I think FedEx is right up there. I think that's probably the honorable mention. That might be the one.
True, Apple is a very good answer.
So how many? Now back to Brand New. You guys, I mean, this for those who don't follow it, Brand New updates a lot. Like, you post almost daily on that thing, don't you?
Yeah, we post daily across three sections of the site. One being reviewed, which is a full review with a full opinion and a full presentation of a project. The other one is noted, where we just say, like, this happened, and here are the links that you can check out, and there's no big opinion. And then another one is called Linked, which is just something funny, interesting, sad that's happening in the world of logos, identity, and branding.
Yeah, because Brand New, you guys also focus on, like, there's logos being redone every day, but it's mainly ones that people have heard of or should have heard of.
Right. That's one of the hardest things. It has to be either a company that people have, a company, product, or service that people are well aware of, which doesn't happen as often because, you know, those companies don't redesign every time.
Yeah, FedEx hasn't rebranded since they rebranded.
Which is in the late 90s. So we have to go with something that's at least, it has to at least be big or meaningful to a large group of people that will galvanize people to want to have an opinion on it. So yeah, we try not to just, I mean, we get between 40 and 50 email tips a week. They range from, here's the logo for my Girl Scouts, you know, troop,
right,
to, you know, here's the new logo for whatever, for Walmart, and everything in between. So I had to go in and make sure that there's a story to tell that people will find interesting. And I think that's what attracts people to Brand New over other logo blogs, that there's a certain editing to it that is not just putting stuff out there because it exists. And also, I write like 95% of the posts. I'm sarcastic, I'm ironic, it's not that I don't give a shit what people think about what I write, but I don't have any affiliations with anyone, so I can basically say whatever I want. And everything, it's not that I'm just out there saying, like, this logo sucks. I usually have a reasoning why I say something like that.
I've seen somewhere you actually like the logo change.
Yeah, no, I mean, if
there's a lot that do suck, to be honest.
Yeah, so. I mean, if it's good, I'll be the first one to say it's good. If it's bad, I'll be the first one to say it's bad. If it's mediocre, I'm right there. What I like to think is that I'm fair. You know, if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, then, you know, it's going to get blasted. You know, it's not my fault. You know, I'm just the messenger.
What was the one that came through that you remember as actually being pleasantly surprised by?
Of it being good?
Yeah.
Anyone
recently where you're like, wow, I didn't see that coming. It's great.
You know, I think I keep talking about Walmart, but I think what Walmart did, I mean, the logo is you know,
It's mediocre.
Yeah, it's mediocre. It's not something that excites you or that means much. But in terms of taking it from this big blocky typography that just felt like, you know, like a lot of the stores where they just, you know, erase blocks of the city and put a big ass store in there. That's what the logo looked like and what it felt like. And all of a sudden they go to like this little asterisk and a tie, you know, light typography in a light blue. Like, oh, maybe they're not so evil. And now they're doing like the smaller versions of Walmart that are more eco-friendly or whatever. So all of a sudden, you know, you don't see Walmart as evil as you used to. And I don't know if it's just the logo, but it was part of this whole transition. And it was surprising that it's worked so well in the years since, that no one has said, oh, no, you know what, this is not working. Let's go back to our big ass typography or changed it. So I think it really speaks
and
to
and I'll
the
say,
process.
I mean, that whole project, when rebranding a company like that with the politics got to be involved, I mean, you're destined to fail. So if it even comes out as mediocre, big win.
Yeah, exactly. If it comes to something that doesn't make you want to puke, you know, at that level of work with the millions of dollars that it entails to change that identity, to come out with something that, you know, you could see yourself doing. You know, it's a really good win.
I think we did a whole show on it. But speaking of which, like Gap, they're a big entity. Did that blow up the brand new blog when that one switched over?
Yeah, I think that's been our single most page viewed day when it came out.
I don't remember, but I assume you did not rate it highly.
No, it was not. It was not a pleasant experience for anyone. I mean, there was no kind words to say because everything was. Everything was mishandled from the beginning, from the way the logo came out, where there was no, they didn't even announce it. It was just like, you log on to Gap and there it is. And then they were like, oh, wait, no, let's actually not do this, but let's ask people for ideas. And then they were like, no, yeah, let's scratch that because that was a really bad idea.
Nothing's better than trying to walk back your mistake with a spec competition.
Yeah, no, they really completely screwed up every single aspect of it. So they really deserved all the crap that they got.
And did that one last a day? Is that what it lasted?
I mean, I think it must have lasted 2-3 days. Because also, it wasn't implemented anywhere. It was just on the website. So on the website, you'd like update your PNG or your JPEG. Like, it's not a big deal. So they were pretty quick to change it. I don't think it was even on Facebook or Twitter, so it was
like someone went to lunch after updating the website, came back and be like, oh crap, I guess we're not doing that anymore.
Undo.
Well, I think the last time I was on FPO and kind of checking it out was the big thing, and you guys wrote an actually really good article on the JCPenney's debacle.
On FPO or brand new?
I think it was brand new.
Yeah. You said FPO.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, I was on FPO probably yesterday.
Yeah, JCPenney was also a problem in the sense that they have gone through 3 rebrands in the span of 3 years. The first one, it was reported that they got 200 logos to choose from a bake-off with design firms.
Bake-off, I love that term.
Bake-off, sorry.
I love the term. Yeah. I haven't heard it like that, yeah.
It's just like everybody comes in with ideas and they choose the one that someone in a room at that moment thinks is the best, which was a decent piece of design, which was JCPenney set in Helvetica, because it wasn't that bad. And then they did, a year later, they did a completely new redesign where it was the square that looked like the American flag. Where it was just and I thought that was really brilliant. And, you know, it created an icon for JCPenney where there was none. And then part of that logo redesign was also a restructuring of many other things that had to do with the shop and getting rid of day sales or whatever, that people want sales. So when you take sales away, it's like, oh, it's the logo's fault that the sales are gone. So there was a lot of shit that blew back on the logo, even though it wasn't the logo's fault. The logo was really good. And then, you know, most recently they switched back to their old logo from like the 1970s.
Yeah.
And like, why?
And it's funny because the logo is kind of the face of the company, but it doesn't mean anything. So I know that the logo is just switched because the CEO has changed. It wasn't that the logo was bad.
Yeah, and I think in this case, it was the you know, they got what the logo was a reflection of what's happening in the company, which was indecision. Like, oh, this CEO is not good. So CEO logo out. Who's the next CEO? Which logo do you want? All right, here you go. Now you're out. Like, okay, let's go back to what was working before. So yeah, it was just a poor use of a logo to signify change because it meant the wrong kind of change.
No. Well, keep it up. How many posts are on Brand New? Like, how many logos have you guys reviewed over the last 9 years or whatever it's been now?
I guess it's somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000.
Okay.
Yeah, when you think about it, that so many companies redesign, it almost blows your mind. Like, why are people going through this, like, every day? But they do. And, you know, good for us because it gives us content.
JCPenney's alone might keep you in business for the next 20 years. So.
And it was just another highlight that we, another brand that we keep reviewing is My Little Pony.
Oh.
And for some reason, every 2 or 3 years, My Little Pony comes back. And even if it's a slight change, I'll just put it in because I find it so funny that people get annoyed. Like, why are you reviewing My Little Pony? Like, it's great. It's My Little Pony. And they're changing the logo.
Well, you have
logo.
Kids. That's right. Yeah.
It matters to someone. So, you know, there are certain recurring jokes that I'll bring in just for my amusement.
Well, that's what I find is when you do this stuff, like on our podcast, if you don't entertain yourself first, people don't realize that, like, why is Armin trying to be funny to himself? It's like, because that's why he keeps doing it.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, we're going to take one final break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about inspiration with Armin. All right, so at Meet the Pros today, you were the closing night day keynote because they have it's a 2-day event, and Tom from Barclays was the keynote yesterday or something. You spoke on inspiration. Right. So is this something you talk about quite frequently, or?
Well, I talk about the myth of inspiration. And the gist of it is that I don't believe in inspiration. I think inspiration is a cop-out for what we do as graphic designers. You know, we just say that we're inspired by music or a painting or like old shit at a flea market. Like, no, we're not inspired by it. We're taking bits and pieces of all the things that we see and rearranging them in new ways for a new project. So my whole shtick is about, you know, stop treating it as this magical thing that happens in our brain that clients don't get and our parents don't get, that it's, you know, it lives within us and we have to let it out. It's not. I mean, we're just choosing typefaces, colors, and, you know, little visual doodads that we're putting together. So it's really about acknowledging that all that we're doing is grabbing things that we see from other designers, from other things around the world, and kind of like trying to come up, give them new meanings and new perspectives, having new perspectives on all this material that people are somewhat familiar with, and, you know, doing graphic design. And also there are all other aspects to the talk about, you know, how we call our passion projects like labors of love, and, you know, why can't we just call it labor? Like, you know, we're doing this because that's what we need to do. To get better, we need to do projects. So instead of
So you're saying there's actually work in this profession? Like, there's actual, like, work. Like, when I show up at the office, I actually have to do stuff.
In theory, that's the theory. Or at least that's my theory.
I'm going to take some notes here. I got to keep going. This could change my life.
Yeah, no, so I think graphic designers like to hide under the idea that graphic design is this mode of self-expression that allows you to be creative and God knows what else. It's a job.
I think a lot of that is that a lot of us always had visions or still have visions that we're artists.
Right. And, which is another thing that, you know,
and to a certain point we are, but yeah, you're right. There's the difference between creative art and design.
Right. You know, here someone, especially if you're working with a client, someone is giving you money to do something. To do something for them, not for you. I mean, you're accepting money to do something for them, and it's work. Then it's a business transaction that you're engaging in, and you're responsible for using your best rational decisions and objective points of view about why your graphic solution makes sense for them, rather than I was inspired by, you know, the I went to your headquarters, and there was this fountain in the center that the way the sound rippled, it reminded me of this painting that I saw when I was in the Louvre, whatever. That's all bullshit, you know.
Right.
I saw the fountain, it was square. I made your logo into a square. You know, that's it.
Logo looks like the outside of your building. Shocker.
Yeah. So I think, a lot of it is just kind of like bringing us down from this artistic, ethereal pedestal that designers like to put themselves in. It's like, you know, it's just vectors and pixels and money exchanged for those.
So how do we then justify the amount of money that we want to charge? Is it through the research part of it instead of the, you know, oh, only I can be inspired by your fountain?
Part of it is that, because I think when you look at that fountain, you say, I can make a logo out of that fountain. I don't know why we're talking about logos made out of fountains, but as an example, it works. I think what you're charging for is the ability to connect, to make connections between what might be important to the client and what might in turn be relevant to the audience that might be a good story for the client to tell. So I think what you're paying for is someone that can recognize those moments. And then, of course, you're paying for someone that has some kind of talent. And that talent manifests in things that look good. There can be a whole other discussion about what makes something good. But if we're being honest with ourselves, we all know what's good and what sucks. And so it's about making that combination of someone that is good at their craft. Just like you go to a good tailor, you know, what makes a good suit or a bad suit? If it fits, you know, it's a good suit. If it doesn't fit, it's a bad suit. So I think that's how we need to address graphic design. Does it fit or does it not fit? And, you know, again, graphic designers like to say, oh, but it's subjective. It's your opinion. Yeah, but my opinion might be more informed than yours. And that's what you're paying.
And that comes also from the experience. I mean, right. Like a tailor, I assume if you sew enough suits, you'll get better at
right.
it. So where your starting point is may help you out, but someone who actually works on logos all day long will probably be better than someone who doesn't.
Right.
So are you guys doing any over at Under Consideration, any client work anymore? Are you fully off on this AI 4GA, this FPO, the brand new, the Quipsologies, is it Art of the Menu?
Mm-hmm.
And what else that you guys got running? Oh, and then you got your conferences.
Yep, and awards.
You got your awards. We have your quarterlies now that mm-hmm. you do that are on newsprint. So this is a two person operation too, right? I mean,
Right. So it's me and my wife, Brian. She's a designer too. We've been together for God knows since like 1999. So it's me and her, and we usually have one intern. At times we have had two interns, but we don't allow them to do much.
They mailed out the quarterlies I got or something.
Right.
Like
I mean,
an email from something.
They really help with the logistics. We're very clear with them that, look, you're not coming in here to pitch logos to us or to clients. Like, we don't, if there is a logo project coming in, I'm going to do it. Like, don't even get your hopes up. From this point, know that, you know, this is going to be about logistics, about helping us get our work done. So, and people are cool with that. It's not that we're evil and we don't give them anything to work with. But most of our interns really enjoy seeing how a small business operates and what it takes to, you know, do things that seem bigger than what you're capable of. So I think that's what they get out of it. So yeah, it's only the two of us. We don't do enough client work, A, because we suck at getting new clients. We have no idea how to get clients. When in 2009, 2 years after we had started our own business, we had a lot of client work at the beginning because we had referrals from Pentagram, myself.
Oh, sure.
So we had a lot of good, you know, word of mouth referrals. And then 2009 happened, the economy went to shit.
Yeah, that was a rough year for everybody, yeah.
And so all of a sudden, like, we had finished all of our client work, and all of a sudden we have no clients, and we're like, how do we get clients now? Like, all of us, all this time, all we've had to do is answer emails of someone saying, I have money and I want you to do this for us. So we had no idea. We're like, you know, do we make a portfolio? Do we write a business plan? So instead we said, screw that, we're not good at it, so let's just focus on our projects. And the first one that we did that was successful, that kind of like took us out of that hole, was The book Flaunt, which is how to
design. Oh, I forgot you guys keep writing books too.
Not as much, but right, that was the last one where we generated content for a book. So that one did really well for us. It's a book about how to make your portfolio so that when you go to an interview, you have something to show. It's done really well, and that gave us the confidence that we can do this with our clients, and we'll figure out ways to make money. Then we did the Brand New Conference, which is a one-day conference. So far, we've done it in New York and San Francisco, and it did really well emotionally, financially. It just was really well received. So that was like, we can really focus on this full time. And if client work comes in, we'll take it. And if I don't like how the email is worded, or if they just call me out of the blue and say, "Can you do my logo for next week?" Like, no, I could, but I don't want to. It's not because we're snobs or we're on a high horse. It's just that we don't have time, and we have all these other projects that are keeping us alive. But
no, I love to hear, and you're kind of an inspiration in the design field for a lot of people because you've created kind of your own clients.
Right.
And that's, a lot of people have that dream, and it's great to see it when it happens. So.
Yeah, and it's been...
And plus you guys create, your design encyclopedia with Design Reference or whatever.
Yeah.
Wonderful book. So if you're a younger student and you want the textbook on design, that's the book you want, is Design Reference.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's... Yes, it's really about doing projects that... So getting back to... we don't know how to get clients, but we understand graphic designers. And because we're graphic designers and we're nerd graphic designers, like we're really into it. Like that's all I think about all day long. Every now and then I'll think about, naked girls or whatever. But for the most part, I'm thinking about graphic design.
And making logos from them.
Yeah, if I could mix the two, that'd be great. It really is having all these projects that are aimed at graphic designer means that we talk their language. We know what, we don't know perfectly what they'll react to positively or not, but we have a very good idea. So I think that's it's been a good reflection of having a really good audience that likes what we do because we're enjoying what we're doing.
No, well, thank you so much for stopping by, Armin. And if we ever make it to Austin, we will schedule around one of your speaker events.
Yes.
So, and everything is it under consideration.org,
.com? Yeah, so from there you can jump to many things.
Yeah, go to underconsideration.com and then you'll think that this is 14 different businesses run by 400 people. It's just the two of them, but they're all great. So thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Meary is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.